And Luke chapter 18, I'll be looking just at a few verses from that chapter, 15 through 17, as Jesus interacts with children. Again, the whole idea of this sermon series is that Jesus is, we're looking at Jesus' ministry in the gospel to restore broken hearts, broken spirits. He wants to restore our humanity, our dignity. And one of the ways that gets undermined in our lives, our dignity, is by being dismissed. You know what I mean by being dismissed? If someone dismisses you, they just sort of out of hand, don't give you the attention or don't give you the respect, that your opinion, that your presence is undervalued, maybe even considered a nuisance. Have you ever felt that way? No? Well, in this story, we see the disciples dismiss a group of people. In this case, it's children. And we're going to look at how Jesus engages them and restores them to their rightful place. So Luke 18, beginning in verse 15. Now, they, just the crowds, the people that are around, they were bringing even infants, so children of all sorts, even babies, to him, that is Jesus, that he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for your word, and we do pray that by your Spirit you would open our minds, our hearts to your message as we look at this this interaction with children and how sometimes adults can be dismissive of children. Teach us what you want us to learn. Teach us how to be childlike in our faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm feeling my age as of late. I'm feeling older. I'm looking at people that I knew when they were high school and in college, and now they have families of their own. I'm looking at friends having grandchildren. That's really the big one. When my friends, my peers have grandchildren, I'm just like, what happened? And I will have to say that my children, along with my wife, occasionally poke fun at the fact that I'm old. I was in college ministry for a long time, so I try to keep up with the parlance of younger people, of the younger generation. I still attempt to communicate using the words they use, keeping up with slang, only to be instructed that I'm using the word wrong. In fact, I should just stop trying to use that word. So I found this article recently. The article is called, "These Are All the Slang Terms You're Too Old to Use After 40. So I thought I should take a look to correct my manner of speaking. Now, the list itself was over 50 words and phrases. I'm not going to read all of them to you. I'm going to read some of them. So the first one was, you should stop saying, "I have all the feels." Have anyone ever heard that term? It's all the feels, all the feels. So some people never heard of it. I've certainly heard of it, and I don't really use it myself, but I'm told don't say that anymore after 40. YOLO. You all know what YOLO is? You guys know what it is, right?
Yes.
What is it?
You only live once.
You only live once. Shouldn't say totes. And I remember this in college. So my college students even went beyond it. We talk about totes for goats. Totes just means totally. So if someone says something that you really agree with, you might say, "Oh, totally." Instead, you don't say totally. You say totes. Don't say that. Don't say lit. You know, like a party is lit. It's really crazy. It's a lot of fun. Or cray cray. I never really liked that term. Cray cray just means crazy. Oh, snap. An unpleasant surprise of some sort. Shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say something is sus. suspect. Talk to the hand.
All right.
I always thought it was rude anyway. spill the tea and a bougie. This means bourgeois. Something so bougie is bourgeois. I didn't use half of them. I didn't use half of them anyway. But it's really quite something when you feel shut down or shut out because of your age, because you're considered too old to have a valid perspective, when you're considered too young to have a substantive opinion. It's painful. It's deflating. Sometimes it's even humiliating. Now, in this story, Jesus' reputation as a healer and a miracle worker is widespread, so the crowds are coming to him to hear his teaching or just to be blessed by him. Parents are bringing even their children to have him touch them. Now, I think personally, my own, looking at this, this is a bit superstitious even. And I've been asked to do many things. So for instance, I've been asked to go to buildings and, hey, Pastor, would you come and bless our business? Would you bless the building that we're in? I do it because I love the people. I don't think there's anything, substantive to the fact that I'm in the building, in the space to bless it. That's just not how spiritually held things work. But I honor people's desire to want God's blessing in their lives. So sometimes I accommodate them. Well, evidently, the disciples, for whatever reason, did not like the fact that the master was being bothered with babies. When the disciples saw it, this is in verse 15, they rebuked him. Again, what is in their minds? Are they dismissing the silliness of parents having a baby touched by Jesus? Are they dismissing the inconsequential nature of children because children themselves are kind of silly? We're not sure, but we know what it is to be dismissed, to be thought, you're not important enough to bother the important person here because we're too young or we're too old, because we're the wrong gender, we're the wrong race, we're the wrong class. We get dismissed. That's not what Jesus wants for us. That's not what Jesus wants for you. His mission is to bring, again, restoration, to restore glory, to restore dignity of our original design. That's his mission. So what does it mean for Jesus to restore the dignity of people who are dismissed? Well, loving any person begins by knowing them and understanding their joys, their hurts. And the same is true of children. And the thing is, children are often shut out. They're left feeling left out or excluded from their peer groups, from the adult world. So loving them means giving them access. Verse 16, but Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Now, some translations of this passage have Jesus saying, suffer the children. Maybe that phrase. And we might come away with the idea that Jesus is saying, hey, tolerate the children. Let them come to me. I'm willing to tolerate them. But that's not even, that's from an older translation, more Shakespearean English. And suffer could mean actually to experience pain, but it also could mean to simply permit, to let the children come. He's saying, don't get in their way. Don't put up roadblocks. Let them come to me. Jesus gave them access. He gave them access to himself. And he's calling on his disciples in that present moment, but of all ages, don't get in the way of children coming to me. I remember a lot of Thanksgiving dinners growing up at family coming from Pennsylvania and from other parts of the country to our house. And two things always jump out at me from those kinds of gatherings. One is the kids' table, and then the discussions with my uncle, who was a pastor. For dinner, there was a very large table. You put in extra leaves, try to expand it to get get all the people you can around it, but not everyone can fit. So what do? When you set up an extra table, who sits at the other table, the card tables that get set up? Well, we'll put the kids there. And I suppose I preferred eating at the table when I was real little, because I get to, not be bored by all the strange conversations the adults had. But as I got older, I began to feel that I was actually in exile at the kids' table. I was shut out. Then after dinner came the conversations in the rec room. The house that I had growing up was a split level. You know, it was one level on the front and then kind of on the back half of the house. It was a second and lower floor. And in the rec room, the lower floor, we'd have conversations. And we'd get to talk with my uncle. Again, he was a pastor and theologian. And my brother and I, and sometimes other people, would go down and sit with him and talk about sports and politics and theology. And we would have engaging, vigorous conversation. And in contrast to the dinner, I felt like I belonged. Those are some of my favorite childhood memories, either in my house or my uncle's house in Pennsylvania, just sitting and having conversations, being taken seriously. As adults, we have all kinds of ways of defining people in or out of the circle. And if you're the person who's able to say, okay, we really need these people in this meeting and not these people, you know, there's kind of a sense of exhilaration of being in charge that way. But being denied access is crushing. Jesus lets people in, no matter how childish or silly or immature. He makes it possible by his sacrifice. His heart is to include. We don't save people the way Jesus does, but we testify to his salvation in our lives by including people. Those on the outside, the humiliated, the dismissed. Who are these people? Well, at the very least, they can be children, very young. But we could expand on that idea to include the elderly or the poor or the working class, the disabled, anybody who feels on the outside denied access because of who they are or their circumstance. Anyone regularly denied access to the blessing fellowship. That's who we're talking about. Now, real connection with the Lord and Christian community means that we do grow, we do develop. But whatever change we're looking for in people, whether it's, again, maturing from being a child to an adult, or someone who's been put on the outside because of things they struggle with, it could be alcohol, it could be addiction, it could be sexual identity, whatever change we're hoping for, that's never a prerequisite to including them. Jesus is reckless in giving himself away, and we should be too. And more than granting access, Jesus also recognizes the right of these children, that to them belongs the kingdom. That's what verse 16 says, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. What belongs to the people around us? People at school, people at work, people in our community? Well, respect and dignity as people. But functionally, it's easy to deny people these things, depending upon where they fall in the pecking order of our society, power structures that we live in. The boss at work gets to push us around, or maybe even humiliate us. So we have the temptation when we come home to kick the dog, metaphorically speaking. Why? Because we can. It's now our turn to be in charge, to order the world as we see fit. Even if it's just a small corner of the world, we get to determine that. And children are often denied that respect because what can they do about it? You know, we set the rules. As parents, it's understandable. We have a lot of obligations. There's work, there's bills, there's our parents that we're trying to navigate, our broader family. And we want to love our children, but sometimes taking all of their concerns in, putting that into the mix, just makes things really complicated. So we have a tendency to ignore it. Of course, this tendency to ignore complicating opinions again, is not limited to children. Anyone who's in a weaker position is easy to ignore. The people we supervise, the hourly worker, the elderly. Everybody know what this is? You see what it is? It's a car key, right? Now, aside from it being necessary to actually operate my car, it represents something important to me. My independence, my ability to get around and go to places that I want to go. Now, how many here have had a conversation about car keys? Who has the right to them? Maybe it's with your parents, whether or not you get a car or have the car that, you know, for a particular event that you want. Or we've talked to our elderly parents about what we consider to be their declining driving skills. Or maybe our children have talked to us about our declining driving skills and wondering if we should have the car keys. It's hard. It's painful. And if there's disrespect in it, that can compound all that hurt. Now, Jesus isn't talking about the keys to the car. He's talking about the keys to the kingdom of heaven, something far more important, far more vital. But in our haste to do something we think is important, to get the things we want done because it's more important than considering someone else's perspective, we can be disrespectful. Disrespectful to people we love, and we deny them what is rightfully theirs, dignity. Now, years ago, I learned a very powerful lesson about showing respect, watching a very subtle gesture that embodied this profound truth. Years ago, I was at a church gathering. I was at Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church. I was watching my brother. My brother was talking with people there, having very good adult conversation. And then a little girl came up to him and wanted to talk with him. I don't know what she wanted to talk about. I don't know what she needed, but my brother stopped what he was doing. He kneeled down so he could talk with this little girl eye to eye. And with a relaxed smile on his face, as if he was happy to talk with her, he wasn't irritated. He wasn't bothered by her presence. He was pleased to give her his attention, just as Jesus was pleased to give these children his attention. The Lord is pleased to give us his attention to the inconsequential. He's pleased to give himself away, not because the people are important and can help him, but because these are made in the image of God. To such belong the kingdom of heaven. We should do the same. Jesus goes on to exhort the disciples to be more like children. Again, verse 17, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That seems pretty I'll just sort of draw on the line. It's pretty hard there. He wants to give them access. He wants to give them respect. But now he says, be like them. Most of us in our childhood are doing everything we can to grow up so that we can have the independence that we want, to have the respect that we're not given. But Jesus says, be like them. What does he mean by that? Kent Hughes, he's pastor emeritus of College Church in Wheaton, wrote an article about this. He called it Enter the Kingdom as Children. This is that, and he says first that that kingdom entrance depends on coming to God in total helplessness and independence, just as infants are completely dependent upon parents. Again, we tend to think we're going to earn our way to heaven. Now, you've been in a church probably most of your lives where you know that's not proper to say. No, God gives us his grace freely, but we don't often live that way. We keep thinking it depends upon us. And we need to repent of that. Jesus gives himself freely to us. But Hughes also notes that children often have unmitigated trust. He says, we see such trust in a baby who stands on his father's hand, high over his dad's head, and smiles proudly. This may sometimes be misplaced trust, but it is nevertheless complete and sincere. And before the teenage years, children are pretty receptive to our leading most of the time, and maybe even in teenage years too. And their love is also unabashed. Again, Hughes goes on to say this, write this, children easily return love for loving gifts. Enthusiastic hugs and kisses and multiple thanks are showered on the giver. And spiritually, we love because he first loved us. Unabashed love is the province of those who receive the kingdom as little children. How many of us, when we got the right gift to our children, were so overjoyed they jumped into our arms with excitement and glee? They don't think much about how embarrassing it is. They're shameless in expressing their thanks. This is what it means to receive the kingdom as a child. Trust in the one offering it. Receive its instruction in unfettered love and affection. God loves you and has redeemed you. It's a simple truth. And so receive it simply and receive it in joy. As I said, I was speaking with my kids the other night about those phrases that people over 40, people like me, shouldn't use anymore. And that my kids agreed that not only should I not say them, perhaps no one should use any of those words. And we laughed about how silly some of them were and the wrong ways that we all had used them. In fact, we had quite a long conversation about bougie and what it really meant. And my daughter shaking her head because she still doesn't agree about how it should be used. My children reminded me implicitly that I was not on the outside, that I was loved. And they were reminded of my affection for them. That is what the love of God wants to work in us. The knowledge that you are not dismissed. You are not on the outside. You are not disregarded, but you are deeply loved. Believe it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us and the fact that you want to include us. Though we were on the outside, you brought us into your fellowship, into your kingdom. Help us to receive that simply and with joy. Help us to trust you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.